Greetings this morning in the precious name of our Lord Jesus. It has been a good morning to be here already to worship our Lord, to hear about wisdom, to hear about the life of Daniel, more wisdom. The one thought I had that with Solomon and Rehoboam was just because daddy has wisdom, young men, young ladies, doesn't mean that you automatically get it. Daniel had to find it for himself. He had to stand up for what was truth in his own life. And we will also have to do that. God has no grandchildren. So that blessed me this morning. Thank you. Could we rise for a word of prayer? I'm feeling my need. Father, this morning as we bow here in your presence, we do thank you for your loving kindness toward us. Father, we're thankful for your word this morning and the examples that we can read in your word that we've already heard this morning. Father, may these words penetrate deep into our heart and life, how little choices have a great effect in our life. Father, thank you. We do pray, Father, now that you would be with me, with the burden that you've given upon my heart, the words that you've given me to share, thoughts that you've brought to my life, my heart, Lord. Father, help me to skip over things that don't need to be said, and bring to mind those things that need to be said. And we just ask, Father, that you would be here with us, that you would be exalted, that you would be magnified, that you'd be lifted up and exalted in our hearts and lives. Father, we're thankful this morning. You know the need that I'm feeling in my own heart and life, and how I feel weak this morning. Father, would you strengthen me physically, spiritually, in every way, Lord. We just ask for your will to be done. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. So after the last message I shared here on faith, I sensed the Lord directing me to look at the fruit of the Spirit. And this morning, we're not going to look a whole lot on that, but rather try to lay a foundation of doing that in the future. So that is what is upon my heart this morning. And last weekend, Brother David shared on faith. Forget the exact title, Faith in Action or Faith with action. I forget exactly what the title was, So a few things that we looked at with faith was, can faith be seen? The question that we had asked, can faith grow? And we know it can. Another question we asked was, can you do faith? Faith is not a verb. Faith is a noun. And it's something that you either have or then you don't have. So no, you can't do faith, but faith will always produce works that you can see. And if we don't have the actions, then we don't have faith. I would like to this morning read the two verses there in Galatians 5 and just quickly read them, and then we'll move on to try to lay a foundation of what the Lord has been laying on my heart here for the next few messages, maybe out of this section here. Chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Two little verses, but they're packed full of tremendous truth. So last time we looked at faith in Abraham's life and how it was evident in Abraham's life by the things that he did. Today we want to look at some other things about fruit. For a little thought here, let's turn to Philippians 4, verse 10-20. The fruit of the Spirit. It is one fruit. It is not multiple fruits. Now I think that there's probably some, as we name some of these things, there's probably some of it more evident than other things in my life, in your life, than others. But it is one fruit. I don't think that you can have half of them and the other half are not seen in your life. They might not be seen quite as plainly, but they should be seen because they are what? They're the fruit of the Spirit of God living in me. So it's obviously an evident thing in our lives. And Paul, as you think of that, think of this little thing that these 10 verses here in Philippians that Paul wrote to the Philippians, starting in verse 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Now that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to abase, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Notwithstanding ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, which when I departed from Macedonia, no churches communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, and I am full, have received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. So the verse I wanted to look at just a little bit this morning is verse 17. Not because I desire a gift. So Paul had a need here. He had physical, financial need, and the Philippians gave money to that need. And Paul is blessing them for providing that need. And he's telling them that not because he desired the gift, but rather, I desire fruit that may abound to your account. So there's an evident thing in their lives of the fruit of God's Spirit dwelling in their hearts. And as we think of that, I would like to just for a few minutes, what are some of the things that you see in Galatians 5 that were being done in Philippians 4 verse 10, or chapter 4 verse, the 10 verses we read here? What were some of the things that the Philippians were doing that would indicate that there was fruit? I know there was a gift given, but it doesn't mention a giving in Galatians 5. What are some of the things there that were proof that the Spirit of God was there? Anyone? Verse 14, notwithstanding ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. They had love. They loved Paul. There was an evident thing there. They loved Paul. They were long-suffering with him. They were gentle with him. Obviously, there was some faith there. There's goodness. And there's more of them that we could probably see that were being evident there by that gift that they had given. So that is what we're talking about this morning. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's an evident thing in our lives. Either you do have it, or then you do not have it. He wasn't after the money, but he was blessed to see the fruit that was in their life. So this morning, I would like to go to John 15 for our text and spend some time in the first 17 verses there looking at Jesus' teaching on the vine and the branches and the fruit that it should be bearing. I think it directly relates to Galatians 5. I'm sure there's many things that you could add to that, but I think it directly relates to that. So let's read John 15, the first 17 verses. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. Men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatsoever you shall ask of my Father, ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. So what is this fruit? Is it just trying to do good? What is the fruit that we're looking at this morning? What is the fruit that Jesus was talking about? I think they're listed in Galatians 5. I'm sure we could expand a lot on that, but we're talking about fruit and keeping that on the back of our minds, the fruit of the Spirit there in Galatians 5. So the first point we want to look at is bearing fruit is not an option for a believer, for a Christian. Bearing fruit is not an option. Now, it is an option, but I don't think that it's an option for a Christian to continue in a long period of, in a part like that. So the first part of this point, let's look at what happens if we do not bring forth fruit. In the picture Jesus is giving, if you are born again, you are a branch. And so if you're not born again, then what? Now we won't spend a lot of time here. How long will God continue to prod your heart? Today is the day of visitation. not tomorrow. And I know that God has been nudging some young people here. But don't wait till it's too late. Be a Daniel. Verse 2, it tells us, every branch in me. Who's in me? Who's that talking about? Every branch in me. It's talking about Jesus. So is it possible that you can be in Christ and not bearing fruit? According to this verse, it is. In me. There's no other way to be in Christ than being born again. This branch. This branch. You think it possibly would have went to church? It was in Christ, right? You think it would have possibly went to church on Sunday morning? Probably so. You think it sang enthusiastically? Very good chance. And he could have even preached a message. So none of us are exempt from this passage. I think all of them could be true. But there's no fruit. How can we be in Christ and not bear fruit? I'm not going to go through it all. I'm not going to read it, but we read the parable of the sower. This is a parable of God's kingdom, right? In His kingdom. Some that have taken up the word, they hear it, and then what? It is snatched away because the wicked one snatches it away because they haven't done anything with it. And the other one, another one is there's no root. There's no roots. They're not, I don't know what this looks like, but there's no root. And it withers away and it dies. Another one is the deceitfulness of riches chokes out the life of Christ. It does. So, there were three things that I thought of on how you can possibly be in Christ and not bear fruit. And then I also thought of when Alan Oberholzer was here, in the opening, he asked the question, what must we do to be lost? Does anyone remember the answer? Nothing. And the same is true for not bearing fruit. You don't have to do anything to not bear fruit. So if you're wanting to bear fruit, there's things that you and I have to do. Nothing. We don't have to do anything. We can also be doing things for selfish reasons, to be seen, and the list goes on. What does our branch look like this morning? Is it, if there is no fruit, it tells us he takes it away. And in verse 6, he tells us again, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. So if a branch that is not bearing fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ, eventually God cuts it off. He doesn't tell us how long. He cuts it off and he throws it away and it is burned in the fire. Sober reality, isn't it? Maybe this morning you don't feel very fruitful. And I want to encourage you that God is merciful and long-suffering. You can turn to Luke 13, and we'll read a little passage there about a tree as well. And make a few comments. Luke 13, verse 6 to 9. He says, he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years have I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I will dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. So this morning, if you're feeling like, you know, my life has just been pretty barren, not bringing forth much fruit, I want to encourage you. God is long-suffering. He's long-suffering. He's gentle. He cares for you. He has your best in mind. He doesn't want that any should perish. And He's there to help us. But, so who is this tree? Is He just talking about a tree? Or is He talking about a person? I think He's talking about, He's giving us an example of a person. He will dung it. And that sounds like a messy job. It is hard work. Who is this tree in this parable? Who is that certain man that had the vineyard? In verse 6, it said, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. Who is that certain man? Jesus. Well, who's the dresser? Who's the dresser of the vineyard? Anyone? You and I are in this parable somewhere. Either we're the tree, or then we're the dresser. We don't have three options here. Either you're the tree that's not bearing forth fruit, or then you're the dresser. That's sobering, isn't it? God wants fruit in our lives. But if you're feeling like you're not, you just don't have much fruit, God cares. He loves you. He's going to nourish you. He's going to take care of you. He's going to try to get you to bear fruit. He's going to bring things in your life, and you either choose to not bear fruit or you choose to bear fruit. It is our choice. So who are you? Have you ever done that for a brother or a sister? Help them along. They're just down and out. They just don't feel like, it feels like life has thrown its worst at them. Have you ever helped a brother or sister in that way? God wants us to do that. It might not be a fun thing to do. So there can be fruit. It is a must. Now let's look at God's desire for fruit in our lives in this passage in verse 2. It tells us, every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it might bring forth more fruit. And in verse 5 He tells us, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in Me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without Me he can do nothing. And in verse 7, He tells us, if ye abide in Me, and My words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. And in verse 16, I think I might have had it wrong. It was in verse 8. Herein is My Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be My disciples. And in verse 16, we have it twice. Ye have not chosen Me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in My name, He shall give it you. So we see here that God desires fruit. He has ordained you to bring forth fruit. Bearing fruit, the point that we're looking at here is bearing fruit is not an option for a Christian. God ordained you to bring forth fruit. You and I are created for that purpose. That's what the word ordained means there. It's that tree that was planted by that certain man in his vineyard. Why was that tree planted there? To bring forth fruit, wasn't it? And that is what this word ordained, that's the best way I can describe it. It is planted there to bring forth fruit. That's what each one of us here this morning are ordained to do. That is God's desire, that's God's heart for every one of us here. It glorifies God when there is fruit. And so the opposite is also true. It's a burden to God when there is no fruit. You and I haven't chosen God, but God chose us and ordained us to bring forth fruit. And we see, seen in that passage where that certain man pulled back the leaves there, and he looked up in that tree to look for fruit, and there was none. This morning, when God pulls back the leaves of your tree, what does he see? Does he see fruit? Does he see barrenness? Maybe there's old, crusty, no good for nothing fruit there. Where are you and I at? Fruit is not an option. And yet, fruit is a choice. You cannot, I don't know if that makes sense or not, but fruit in God's kingdom is a must. And yet, it's a choice. We either choose it or we don't. It's something that will be evident in our lives. The choice is ours, and it will be eternities apart. And again, it's not like we're driving through Fort Wayne and it's time to eat. Where will I choose? Will I choose McDonald's or will I choose Burger King? It's not a choice like that. This is an eternity apart. Complete difference. It's not just I think today I'll bring forth fruit. It won't work that way. The second point is there's only one way to bear fruit. And we heard about it this morning in abiding. And that's what we want to look at is abiding. I had to think of a fire this morning. What happens to a fire? If you have a fire going, what happens to a fire when you don't do anything with it? It just goes out. So this morning we want to try to stoke the fire a little bit. We want to, sometimes when we stoke something, it can be a little painful and it can be a little ouchy, but that is what our heart is this morning, is to fan the flame and allow God to work in our lives. How does a branch abide on a tree? That's the example that he's using. What does a branch do to abide on the tree? It just is, isn't it? I mean, it just naturally abides there, right? It's connected. It's not trying to do anything to be a branch. It just is a branch. And that is what our life should look like as well. What do you need to do to be a Christian? Well, follow the Lord Jesus. Follow His commandments. Just be one. It's not about trying so hard to get everything just right. Just be a branch. There is no way for a branch to bring forth fruit of its own, according to verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. So as you look at my life, can you see if there's the fruit of the Spirit here or not? Or you? The answer has to be yes. We don't like to get that practical, but the answer has to be yes. If I'm abiding in Christ and Christ is abiding in me and His Word is abiding in me, then you will see that there's the fruit of the Spirit there. As in the fall of the year, when you drive past an orchard, how close do you have to be in order to see if the tree has fruit on it or not? I mean, some of these trees are bent way low. They're heavily laden with fruit. You can easily see it, right? Well, God tells us that He wants us to bear forth much fruit. I think that it should be easily seen as well in our lives. You might be sagging. You can see by the sagging branches from a distance that there is fruit on a tree. Verse 5 says, if we are abiding in Him and He in us, there will be much fruit. The branches will be sagging. Jesus won't have to pull back the branches of the leaves in order to find fruit. But rather, He might be there with a stick to help prop up the branches for the much fruit that is there. That's what He wants to do in our lives. So we don't break. Do we see the difference? In verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. So we see again here, if Christ is abiding in us, we in him, his word is abiding in us, we will bring forth much fruit. His words abiding in us mean is more than just speaking the right words. It will be evident. The third point, there's only one way to bring forth more or much fruit, according to what I see here, and it is purge. Verse 2, it tells us, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that is bearing fruit, a fruit-bearing branch, he purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have... Getting two verses together. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth that it may bring forth more fruit. More fruit. The branch that brings fruit is purged, or we could say pruned. To the natural mind, does this make sense? Why would you cut, why would you trim off, why would you go clipping on a branch that is bearing fruit? Does that make sense to the natural mind? It does not. Why would God prune a fruitful tree? Even when you know that God has used you in a certain area, and here comes God with his pruners, and those he loves, sometimes we find that what I think is the choicest fruit of my life, clip. Now there it falls. And it's a very painful thing. You wonder why? Why does God do that? I mean, it was my most beautiful fruit that I thought I had, and down there it lays. Why? God has one thing in mind when he does that, and it is not to hurt you, but it is to bring forth more fruit. Oh, the pain. Oh, the heartache. The tears. But it is God's love at work in us. Up here we are attached to the vine, attached to the branch. Clip. Now it goes that what we thought was that beautiful fruit, and that down there it is. Men trample on it, walk on it. Nobody seems to understand. Nobody seems to see it. Nobody seems to care. And the list can go on and on. But God has something in mind. He wants you to continue to abide in him. He wants you to bring forth more fruit. Yeah, it might have been a beautiful fruit, but there's something better coming. Look at Jesus on the cross. It looked like it was, to the disciples, it looked like it was done. It looked like it was over. To the natural mind, it was complete. I mean, there was the one that we thought was going to save us, and there he dies on a tree. How can that be possible? The other one I thought of is Joseph, and I want to read just a few verses in verse 45 of Genesis, chapter 45 of Genesis. There was Joseph. Do you think he cried that night as they went and took him to Egypt? Do you think he wept? Do you think it felt like there is no one that cares? I mean, here God had given him dreams of all this, that the sun and the moon and the 11 stars are going to be bowing to him, and how the 11 sheaves are going to be bowing down to him. What do you think he thought as God clipped that branch that day, and down there it fell? Do you thought it felt like, how's this ever going to work out? Was that you, God, that brought them dreams to me? Was that really you, God? We don't read them thoughts in Joseph's life. But if he's a human being at all, like we are, I'm sure that he struggled. We don't read about him. We read of a young man that was faithful to God in all things. But I do believe he struggled. In verse 45, listen to these words. After Israel had died, verse 5, it says, "Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life." Now it's making sense. Back there, it didn't make sense. Today, it is. Verse 7, he says, "And God sent me before you to preserve you." And the verse goes on. God. Now Joseph is saying, we read, and in our minds, Joseph's brothers sold him, right? But Joseph is saying, God sent me over here to preserve you. In verse 8, "So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and the Lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." That day that God clipped part of that branch that looked like a beautiful, fruitful 17-year-old branch that was bearing some fruit, God clipped it. Down there it lay. And I'm sure that in Joseph's mind it was gone. But looking back, he says, "God sent me. God did it. It was not you, but God." Yes, they did. They did do it. But Joseph had a different perspective. God was preparing him for something far greater. Do you want to be pruned? Do you want to be more fruitful? Let God prune back some of what you think is your choicest fruit. We all want to be a Joseph, right? But how many people want to go through what it takes to be a Joseph? Is there any volunteers? And if you're praying that God would make you a fruitful person, I also beg of you to pray that God would be merciful as He does that to you. Way too many people are satisfied with fruit, but there's very few people who desire much fruit. You can't do whatever you want and bear much fruit. That is insanity. And yet, that is how most people live their lives. And it can't work. It will not work. There's no cruise ships in God's vineyard. There's no golf courses. There's no, you name it. Is that being too radical? Is it too radical to smash our idols once again? I think at times we get taken up with the cares of this life. If you're not purposeful in helping the trees around you to help them, what are you doing? Are you living for self? It's my time, my pleasure, my toys, big or little. My. Where is God? The Bible tells us that the violent take it by force. What are the others doing? We all need to be purged in order to bring forth more fruit. Think of eternity. Will it be worth it? We're only here for such a small time. Such a small time. And God wants us to be fruitful. He wants your life to be... Why is it God's desire that our lives are so fruitful. As we look at love and joy and peace and long-suffering, meekness, them are attributes of God, right? He wants it to be evident in me. He wants it to be evident in you that the Spirit of God is dwelling in you, in me. That is why He wants it. That is why His desire is that we bring forth much fruit. That is what His desire is. What is the only way to glorify the Father? How do we become His disciples? In verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. In the last month, by what you did, what is most important to you? Abiding in Christ? Your work? Your devotions? What are you always on time for? Meals? Just questions for us to look into our own lives, to stoke the fire a little bit and see where are we? What is most important? You know, we can so easily, I'm with you, okay? I can so easily put my best foot out when you are all around, right? That's just who we are. But God have mercy. Who am I when there's no one else around? That's who God sees. He wants us to bear much fruit. We need to be purposeful, or we will not make it. Turn back just a few pages to John 12, verses 23 to 26, or 28. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life, life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. This is in chapter 12 and chapter 13 of John we read, where they went in the upper room and had their last supper together. He was going to be that corn of wheat and die. Why? What does he tell us? Unless that corn of wheat dies, unless it's put in the ground and it dies, and it brings forth fruit, that seed abides alone. This morning, as I look across the audience here, we still see fruit from that seed from that day. Right? We still see evidence of that fruit today. But if it dies, it will bring forth much fruit. You can't be someone one day and another day someone else. Your life can't be like a teeter-totter. It has to be a purposeful life to bear much fruit. It is a life. It is die, 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 and then there's fruit. If we don't die, if it's me, 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 it's barrenness. If you're hanging on to your life, your wants and wishes, you will absolutely lose it. God tells us that in His Word here. and God cannot lie. But if your life is 100% about following Jesus, and your life and your wants and wishes, you have lost them for the sake of Jesus, Jesus says He will keep it. He will preserve your life. And again, God cannot lie. So the decision is ours. If you would follow me around the last month, what would your conclusion be of my life? And I say that, nobody's followed me around for the month. Would it have been that Andy is full of self? That he lives for himself? Or that he is following Christ? Ask that question about yourself. If someone would have followed you around for the last month, what would they have seen in your life? What would happen if there was a recording device on you, and every week on a Sunday morning, we would play that recording device on here of each other's lives? What would that look like? Would we have to change some things? Then why not change them? There is a recording device, and it's recorded in heaven for every deed, thought, and action of our life. It's that serious. If we're going to bear fruit, we're going to have to be absolutely purposeful in doing so. It is not just going to happen. Don't worry about man. I'm not saying we shouldn't worry, but don't worry about what man thinks. But what does God think? He sees it anyway. Is your soul troubled? Jesus' was, and he knew for that corn of wheat to go into the ground and die, it was the only way to bring forth fruit. He knew that that wouldn't be a walk in the park, but he knew it meant death. It meant death. And when Jesus was there given up, what happened? The great God of heaven spoke. He heard it with an audible voice. Now, I can assure you that if you've given yourself up, God will send His angels to minister to you as well. He will come and minister to you, probably not in an audible voice, probably not at all, but He will be sure to minister to you. The fourth point, ask what you will. In verse 7, I'm at the wrong spot here. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. And again in verse 16, it says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Do we ask God for things very specific and purposeful? Many times we pray, but we ask amiss, right? We do that. We're human. We don't always do things everything just right. But may we get a hold of God. May we be abiding, that branch that is abiding in Him and bringing forth fruit. God will lay His burdens upon our heart on the things to pray for. And if we ask Him in His name, He tells us that He will give it unto us. What a glorious promise. In all the scripture that we looked at today, do you think that there's any room for any self-pursuit at all? So, suppose I'm praying for something specific. I want a fishing pole. I want a fishing pole I'm going to use two little illustrations. I have a fishing, I want a fishing pole. And I'm not saying that God can't answer the first prayer. But if I already have two fishing poles and I just want another one, is God going to answer that prayer? Probably not. We ask amiss. I'm not saying He can't. It depends on what God wants to do in your life. Now, if I don't have a fishing pole and I would love to go catch some fish to provide for my family, and I pray and I ask God for a fishing pole, do you think He can answer that prayer? I think God would love to answer that prayer. It might not be a brand new fishing pole. It might have line that is all tangled up and who knows what all else, but He will provide something for you to catch fish if that is a need in your life. What about a dress? You have a dress that there's a certain color dress that you want. And you already have six dresses in your closet. But you have this one certain color you'd really like. And you pray, do you think God will answer and give you that one certain color of dress? Again, I'm not saying no, He won't. But probably not very apt. If you already have five dresses or whatever it is that is needful, and I just picked the number five. You might need more than that. I don't know what you need. But if you have what you need and all you want is a different color, is God going to answer that? But, okay, put it, who remembers the book, or who always read the book, God Knows My Size? Most of us have read the book, probably. God does care about your clothing. He cares. He can even make it that it's the right size. Isn't that amazing? Ask what you will in my name, and I will give it unto you, He says. Now, He's not there to give us all our wants and wishes, but pray for souls. And yes, you might have to pray for 40 years. But pray. If you're not sure what God's will is and what to pray, don't just not pray, but pray that God would show you His heart for your life. If you're open to it, He will be sure to answer. So, as we think of the fruit of the Spirit this morning, it is God's heart that each one of us brings forth fruit. It is the way that we can glorify God, by bringing forth fruit. And the way to bring forth fruit is abiding in Him. And if you want to bring forth much fruit, it's allowing yourself to be purged, to be pruned. And it might look and feel like it's just done over. Nobody really cares. Nobody really feels what I'm feeling. But God wants to prepare you for something bigger. Remember Joseph. Remember Jesus on the cross when it looked like everything was done. The disciples went back to fishing. What do we have today? So we want to use this as a springboard as we consider the rest of the fruit of the Spirit. And I say the rest, it is only one fruit, but there's different parts of the fruit. One more thing I'd like to look at this morning real quick is verse 11. It says this, "These things I have spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full." He wants the fruit to remain in your life. He wants the joy. When we're bringing forth fruit, when the fruit of God is evident in our life, joy is part of that fruit. And joy, we're not joyful depending on what happens. Now, your joy can be tested. I won't say that. Your joy can be tested, but joy, He wants that joy to remain in you. Even when He's there and He clips that branch and the pain and oh, how it hurts. He wants that joy to remain in our lives. He wants it to remain there. That meant that it never departs. Is that exciting? That's exciting, isn't it? Joy. Does that mean that I'll never have another bad day again? No. Joy is not necessarily depend on what happens in my life. Joy is a choice. It's a fruit. He doesn't just want it to remain, but He wants it to be full. Now, when you think of something full, how much more can you get in it when something is full? And when God fills something, how much more do you think you could get in there? I mean, it's full, right? That is what He wants in our lives. Full and running over. He wants it full. And the picture that He gives is it's crammed full. There's not room for any more. All the things that He wrote here to us, He says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." That was the purpose. That was the reason that He gave us what He gave us in John 15. So the 4 points this morning that we looked at, I probably can't give them to you all. Bearing fruit is not an option. Was the first one. There's only one way to bear fruit. I probably won't find them. The next one was, the preacher should remember, right? Point three was, there's only one way to bring forth more or much fruit. And then the last one was, ask what you will. These things, God has spoken to us that our joy would remain in us and that our joy would be full. And that is our hearts, that is my heart this morning for all of you, is let's pursue to be a fruitful branch in Christ. And it's not going to just be easy. If you're not going to be purposeful, you will never bring forth much fruit. But if you're purposeful and you give yourself over and that you're that like that corn of wheat that goes in the ground and dies, it will bring forth much fruit. It's God's desire. It's God's heart. It's what glorifies God. So may that be our purpose today. God bless you.